Hello and welcome to another episode of BTS by the Book, a podcast that explores BTS through books about them, one chapter at a time. As always, I am your host, the BTS Bookworm. This episode was introduced by a few seconds from the song called Cypher Part 2, which has a tie-in of sorts to the chapter of the day. The book we're considering is called BTS The Review, subtitled A Comprehensive Look at the Music of BTS. And it's so interesting, this chapter we're looking at, you would think might mention, you know, any chapter from a book like this might mention half a dozen to a dozen songs by name. But this chapter doesn't mention any by name specifically. But the Cypher series is mentioned. This book, BTS The Review, was published in 2020. Written by Yongdae Kim. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. There is a translator as well, H.J. Chung. The publisher is RHK Publications or Publishers. The book is over 330 pages long, and as I said earlier, this is a comprehensive look at the music of BTS. The author, Kim, is a music critic, and he serves as a member, at least did when he wrote the book, of Selection Committee for Korean Music Awards, which is very interesting. He has a PhD from the University of Washington, born in South Korea. And the chapter we're considering today is called, hang on, I want to get this right, it's called The Evolution of K-Pop Idols. Now, this is an interesting book. I'm about to read a few lines from the prologue. That's the closest thing to a preface or an introduction, because I always like to set up a chapter by providing some context for what the author's trying to do with the book. This is an interesting book because instead of common everyday chapters throughout, there's just a mix, a great mix of types of content in here. I think anyone halfway interested in BTS music would find this book interesting. The chapters are good length, not too long, just about right. There's a mix of what the author refers to as columns, reviews, and interviews. There are 9 columns in the book. Those are, to me, look just like normal chapters from any book, but they call them columns. But they're interspersed throughout the book with reviews of albums, 15 total. And these are not just BTS albums. There are some solo mixtapes like RM's got a couple, Suga's got one, J-Hope, for example. There are 7 interviews in the book, none of which are conducted with members of BTS. These are, say, music professionals, interviews with them about BTS. And it's just a mix. So if you're tired of reading a review, the good news is the next chapter will probably be a column or an interview. And so there's a good mix. It keeps the book interesting from cover to cover. This is not a book with photos and all of that. This is a book focused on text. I will say that I feel like this author, who wrote evidently in Korean initially, probably wrapped up the book in 2018, 2019, because the last albums considered in the book are from 2018. And my guess is that it took a year or two for the book to be translated into English, which I know sometimes that takes a while. But the last album reviewed in the book is a mixtape by RM and called Mono. And so that was in 2018, and there's nothing after that. So don't be disappointed or caught off guard if if you don't find any of the albums that were published between, say, 2018 and 2020. Map of the Soul, for example. We are looking at the first column. Let me make sure. Maybe the second. No, it's the first column. No, sorry. The second column in the book. It starts on page 50. It's approximately 10 pages long. And but I promised I'd read something from the prologue. So the prologue is called Unraveling the Secret of BTS Phenomenon. And boy, there's so much I want to read here. I love this line from page 6. When something rises to the fore, people tend to look for simple explanations and analyses that make sense and are easy to comprehend. Of course, that's a reference to BTS, the rise of BTS. Next paragraph. What differentiates BTS from others? What is the essence of the BTS phenomenon? What does their success tell us? These are some questions the book addresses. On the distinguishing features or the special characteristics of BTS and their success, there may exist a myriad of different, and sometimes wrong, analyses depending on each commentator's expertise. Unfortunately, to my knowledge, there's not been any analysis that accurately identifies the heart of their success. It's probably because we focus on their success without paying attention to the process or the journey that resulted in such an outcome. The success of BTS was not built in a day, nor is it a work of someone's magic. Every step of the way is what made them who they are today. And I definitely put a star next to those quotes because they're some of my favorite so far in the book. Last full page of the prologue, the author writes, "This book will explore the key to BTS's success by listening to their music. However, simply listening will not clarify the issue either, unless we take a multi-dimensional approach." And the quote continues, but I want to stop there because that is the feel you get with this book, that multi-dimensional approach, which I think would explain a little bit of the column and the interview and the review components of the book. Last quote from the prologue, which is worth mentioning, to elaborate the meaning and the appeal of their songs in musical terms, and to formulate a guide for those who listen to their music for the first time, I kept repeating the songs to develop a new framework. As a result, this book became a compilation of critiques, reviews, and liner notes. It is my answer to how BTS came to be the sensation they are today. And you know, it's interesting. This book was probably, the content was probably wrapped up I mean, no later, I don't guess, than 2019. So the book could only imagine the continued rise of BTS through 2020 and then into 2021. But this chapter, which is called a column, is called The Evolution of K-Pop Idols. In my notes, I wrote a little added phrase, I guess, it could be a word to that title because it reflects what this chapter is trying to do. And so it's not just the evolution of K-pop idols, it's the hip-hop evolution of K-pop idols. This chapter does a lot more than any book I've read thus far about providing a hip-hop background for BTS. A hip-hop worldwide, starting in America, and then the influences that were, you know, eventually made their way to Korea, which eventually set the stage for BTS. And throughout this book, the author, he says a lot, but doesn't use too many words saying it, and I always appreciate that. This is an about 9-page chapter. And it's interesting that the chapter begins with a heading, and usually when I see a heading, I'm expecting to see several more. You know, like this is the heading for this section, and then there's another, because that's really typical of some of the books I've even reviewed. But in this chapter, there's this one heading under the main heading, The Evolution of K-Pop Idols, and it reads like this: The Significance of BTS in K-Pop Idol History. And so I don't know what's the heading, what's the subheading, or if it's maybe a subtitle to the heading. I don't know. But in this almost 9-page chapter, BTS is only mentioned about a dozen times. And I think it feels okay. It feels appropriate considering what the author's trying to do. He is focusing on the background, the backstory of hip-hop, K-pop, and so he doesn't have to talk about BTS a lot. He's just trying to provide kind of a foundation historically, some context for BTS. So the first page and a half of the chapter talk about hip-hop in general. And there's some decades mentioned, like what was going on with hip-hop in the 70s. That would be the late 70s when hip-hop first emerged. Grew in popularity in the 80s, 90s, huge influence, especially in the United States. And it, according to the author, it was the late 80s when you start seeing some of that overseas influence in Korea specifically. And so the next page, he talks about Korean hip-hop, particularly in the 2000s. And there's a reference to something that's new to me, relatively speaking, trap, T-R-A-P, not rap, but trap, what he calls a new rap genre favorable for dancing. This was in reference to what was going on in Korean hip-hop in the 2000s. And along with just the music, there were other things that arose and became more popular, fashion-related, lifestyle-related things pertaining to hip-hop. And so it wasn't just the music. There's a reference to a music variety show called Show Me the Money that launched the same year BTS debuted, 2013. And so evidently that was a major influence in Korea when it came to rap music, and I guess in part, hip-hop. And it made it more mainstream. And then we get this statement, which is one of several I want to read word for word. Next page, 52. I quote, BTS is a team that appeared in the middle of such a great transformation to hybridize the genre and the attitude of hip-hop using the formula of an idol group. So this was the author's way of saying there was this slow, you know, transition from just normal K-pop idol boy band groups to this more hip-hop style, and this hybridize term reflects what BTS, they were a major part of that. And he goes on to say, to describe what is hip-hop as a genre, and talks about a lot of these origins, of course, are American, and how hip-hop reflected some inner-city, gangster-like scenes in kind of exaggerated ways in many cases, but it resonated with certain people. Maybe African-Americans primarily, but they viewed that music as something that was truly reflecting their life and their worldview, their perspective on their surroundings. And so there's a reference to the authenticity of the message it being one of the things that appealed to hip-hop fans. He goes on to say next chapter that with that as, I'm sorry, next page, with that in mind, it's almost unimaginable how there could be any connection eventually with traditional K-pop, which was anything but hip-hoppy at the time, or at one time. Because that traditional form had no hip-hop imaginings or sound at all. And so certainly that kind of American cultural gangsta atmosphere wasn't a part of K-pop in any way. It was a slow evolution, for sure. And there is a trendsetter group mentioned on page 54. I'm not familiar with Xiao, Taiji, and Boys. But evidently, they were one of the first groups to try to take on this hip hop, rap, K-pop persona. And another idol is mentioned, Big Bang. And then the next group that's mentioned is BTS. And my favorite part of this chapter commences here. And there's so many quotes I want to read. And some of this, when I read it, I felt like I was reading something almost new for the first time. I mean, I've read plenty about BTS's hip hop roots, but it's never been worded and phrased and described quite like Kim does here. Let me read a few of these quotes without quoting the, 3 pages remaining in the chapter, which I'm tempted to do. BTS is a team that has inherited the context of both Korean hip hop and idol music, and they are simultaneously evolving in a new direction. I'm going to stop there and set the stage for what's coming. The author obviously believes that, the producers who were in charge of BTS and establishing what they would do early on, they already had some Korean hip hop context to work with. So that wasn't how BTS was different. But what they ended up doing with it was truly unique. And how so? Well, here's what the author claims. Quote, "The most important element is that they relentlessly and seriously explored rap and hip hop unlike any other idol in the past. BTS did not simply borrow hip hop. They are one of the few idols that embraced the genre as their identity." And this is what, in the author's view, made BTS so distinctive. He believes that rap and hip hop elements were just kind of a supplemental added thing for some groups, even the groups that would have been considered hip hop, Korean groups. It was just an added element. But BTS, that they did not jump into that pool, so to speak, with one foot. They jumped in with both feet. It was truly what they were at their core. Another quote reads like this: "Their distinction is clear in the format of the group. Big Hit formed the team around the rappers RM and Suga because they initially intended to create a hip hop group instead of an idol." And it's immediately after that that there's a reference to the Cypher series, which again is why I began this episode with a couple seconds from it, because the author sees in those tracks some rap techniques that are, in his opinion, unlike the average, certainly unlike the average idol group. And so this, according to the author, was never intended initially to be just a temporary thing. Obviously, those of us who've been fans of BTS for a while or who have just looked at their history, we know that they've evolved so much since those hip-hop exclusive, or most, you know, not exclusive, but mostly hip-hop days. And they've evolved quite a bit. And yet early on, the author is saying it wasn't meant to be just a temporary thing. The people who were in charge of BTS, like the producer Bang Si-hyuk, it was his intention to make this a hip-hop group, and the group, they were seemingly all in for that, not thinking about, oh, what are we going to be 4 years from now, 5 years from now, because if you had asked them, they might have said, yeah, we'll still be a hip-hop group. But obviously, that evolution happened in an organic kind of way. But what set them apart early on was they were wholly, wholly, hip-hop in their origin. And the author goes on to say, page 56, that, you know, this wasn't a recipe for mass popularity. You know, in other words, if you were a group starting out in 2013 in Korea, a K-pop type group, if you were just wanting to get a lot of fans quickly, that was not the best approach for that. And but so what happens was they didn't maybe have as many fans as they could have if they had mixed it up more and just were a little hip-hop. But the fans that they did have, which weren't just in Korea, by the way, I mean, before you know it, people around the world, including America, were becoming familiar with this hip-hop Korean group. They were huge fans. So in other words, the fan size may not have been as large as it could have been, but they certainly were rabid fans. That's my word. My all-time favorite quote from this chapter is found at the very bottom of page 56, but it's about three sentences. This discourse of authenticity was especially central in the American market. BTS's methodology of being responsible for their own music and incorporating their honest stories go beyond those of an idol, which propelled them significantly against the stereotype that K-pop is artificially manufactured. At the same time, it earned them a whole new set of fans who have never followed existing K-pop groups. I love several things in that quote. Obviously, one of their, I like any quote that captures the distinctiveness of BTS, because obviously they are who they are and they're as popular as they are because they're different. But it's hard sometimes to put your finger on what that difference is. Well, the author is talking about things we've talked about so many times. Other books talk about this, of course, about their honest stories, their authenticity. People have grabbed hold of that with both hands since their earliest days. What helped BTS stand out, this is this context or this assumption that K-pop was somehow artificially manufactured. Well, BTS's music just didn't seem that way at all. It just didn't have that feel to it. And people noticed that. And I like the last part of this quote. You know, there are some people who fell in love with BTS, but who didn't care about K-pop in general at all. They didn't follow K-pop at all, but they follow BTS. And I think that is a trend that has continued even to today. I mean, obviously, plenty of fans have fallen in love with BTS and have fallen in love with K-pop, too, after falling in love with BTS. But this author's point is, early on, there were a bunch of people who didn't follow K-pop, didn't know anything about them, but fell in love with BTS, in part because of how different they were. The chapter ends, it's a 9-page chapter, so it's not very long, which is why we're about to wrap up, but This isn't my favorite quote, but I love the way the author ends the chapter. He just has a way with words, and this is evidence of that. Before I read it, I should say that there's talk about the mid-2000s, and there's a mention of Psy, and what he refers to as Hallyu fever, all backdrops for BTS popularity. Then he says this, though, even with those people in mind and people across the world, not just America, but were aware of those trends in K-pop. But, and still, the author says this to conclude the chapter. International fans began browsing hip-hop or indie rock genres as the alternative to K-pop idols, identified by frank attitudes and artistry. Their radar picked up a boy band named BTS, who proclaimed their raw spirit rooted in hip-hop. That last line or two doesn't say anything new that we haven't already discussed tonight or today, but it's just a well-worded concluding. You know, it's hard to find a concluding, a few lines that are better expressed than that of a chapter or a book, I guess, as a whole. And as I mentioned at the beginning, that sounds like a chapter that could come very early in the book, and it does in the sense that it's only the second column in the book, but it's not chapter one or two or section one or two where you might expect it to be. Technically, it's chapter five. So it comes after one column and three reviews of albums Too Cool for School, Are You Late, Two, and then School Love Affair. And then comes the column slash chapter, The Evolution of K-Pop Idols. You already know by now that I very much enjoyed this chapter because, as I said, it does share a little bit more than the average book about the hip-hop background for K-pop, and then obviously BTS in that under that umbrella. And it makes sense that they would talk more about that in a book like this because the whole book is about the music of BTS, just the music. And so just be on the lookout for more content like this as we move through the book in future episodes. As I conclude this episode, I would like to remind you that I not only appreciate you listening to this episode, but assuming you've listened to others and you like what you hear, I would appreciate a note from you. I would appreciate, and I'll share my email address in a moment, I would appreciate you showing your appreciation for this podcast by supporting a very worthwhile book-oriented project called Books for America. You'll find them easily online at Books for Africa. America doesn't need more books, but books, for the most part, booksforafrica.org is where you'll find this organization that's been around since the 1980s, attempting to end the book famine in Africa. You can go there, check them out. If you like what you see, consider making a donation to BFA. It doesn't have to be much money. Every little bit helps, but that's the only support I could ask you for when it comes to this podcast. Help them out. And by helping them out, you'll be helping out some, mostly children, in struggling areas of Africa, especially when it comes to getting their hands on books. My email, if you'd like to let me know about your support of BFA, your support of this podcast, if you'd like to ask questions, make comments, you can email me at btsbythebook@gmail.com. And please, finally, consider purchasing a copy of your own of BTS The Review by Kim. You can find this easily on Amazon or other book outlets. As I mentioned before, any fan, if you've been a fan of BTS for even a year, you would really appreciate this book. It just reads well. It's got a good look to it, even though it doesn't have photos everywhere. It's got a good feel to it. It's well published. I'll just put it that way. And by purchasing books like that, I believe you'll be communicating an important message to the world of authors out there, communicating to them that, hey, books about our favorite group are important to us. Maybe not as much, but I mean, maybe close to how much we appreciate the music and the albums and supporting them online by watching their videos and streaming their music. Books are important too. And so you could certainly communicate that by supporting authors like Dr. Kim. Thank you again for listening. We will catch you soon. If you haven't noticed, a number of the recent episodes have been tracking more than one per week. I plan to do that until we get to episode 10. I want to have a special episode focused on one member of BTS by looking at several chapters from several books focused solely on one member of BTS. I'll share with you who that member is very soon. That's all for this episode. Thank you again. We'll catch you next time.